I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, everybody. this week and the last 2 weeks of our episodes have been pretty jam-packed full of estrogen, I gotta say.
Yeah, and
I'm learning lots.
As you can probably tell during the episodes, yeah. I'm definitely learning a lot too and stumbling my way through a few things. But you know what? If there's any male listeners still out there.
Yeah, if they're still tuning in.
Like, please try to bear with us, okay? And learn with us because these are arguably.
Yeah, don't bear with us. Fucking sit through it and listen to this shit.
Yeah,
this is important.
Fucking
you
asshole.
Fucking idiots. Whoa.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Rein it in.
But we're not gonna stop. This week we're gonna dive headfirst into the messy world of extremely painful periods. We talked to a good friend Leslie about her experience with endometriosis, and man, it was a conversation and a fucking half. So
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so I hope
too.
You guys do
me too.
And here it is. So yeah. Check it out.
Enjoy. Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. Today's guest is Leslie Smith. She has endometriosis. Let's talk about it.
What works.
I love masturbating.
Right. Good to know, Brian.
Okay. Hey.
Ooh. Well, let's get into our guest.
Yeah, we are recording.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
This is okay.
Let's start with our
reel
guest.
Reel it in. let's introduce our guest.
There we go.
Hello, Leslie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. Are you good?
I am. No. No, I've heard your show.
You feel safe, right?
Yes, I was expecting this.
You know what? This will be interesting. This will be the first time that we delve deep into the topic of, I guess, I feel like we're going to talk about periods a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're
going to delve into lady parts.
Yeah, lady parts.
We're exploring female health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we are
in a very mature way.
Yeah, Well, so have you heard? We did an episode about male health. It was one of our earlier episodes, and we talked about phimosis. And pretty much the whole episode, we talked about penises.
Isn't that every episode?
Yeah. There's a dash
the
of that in every episode. I think,
but I feel like this is going
to
be sort of like kind of the female version of that.
And I think super helpful because. I know that I've definitely lived with, especially as like a teen and like in my early 20s, like the idea of talking about guys talking about periods is so like, there's so much of that.
Get over it.
So just
no,
to,
but really,
just
like there's this
that.
This sort of like people will talk about some really gross stuff, but then a woman talks about a period, and a lot of particularly men, but not only men, like even some women are like, well, I don't talk about it. I don't want to mention that.
Periods don't, I'm just going to put this out there right now. There's nothing about periods that really weird me out. Like,
no,
dude,
anymore.
Like,
not anymore for me, but I
see my wife's Diva cup sitting like in like, it'll like fall into my shaving kit and I'll be like, I'm going to pick that up and put it back where it belongs.
You know, what's a Diva cup?
I'm not going to explain that. Leslie, why don't you?
I mean, it doesn't have much to do with endometriosis, but I
but you are a woman.
basically it's a little like silicone cup that you would like use to collect your menstrual blood as it is.
For like a sample?
Instead of using a
tampon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's completely reusable. You can clean it out, use it. I mean, I had one that I'm on my second one now of my life. I love them.
It's an environment. Oh, wait. It's an environmental. Okay. It's an environmental thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. It's kind of like.
It's like the vegan tampon.
Yeah, it's like reusable, reusable toilet paper.
No. Nope. Yeah.
That was such a gross way to put that.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay.
But
you? Enough about Diva Cups, because that has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I mean, we'll get, they might come up.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah. Leslie, why don't you tell us why you're here? What are you here to talk about?
I mean, I'm going to talk about endometriosis.
Endometriosis.
Yes.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Can I just ask you guys a question, Jaren Tay?
Like, yeah.
How much do periods gross you guys out? Like if your wife or your girlfriend or partner, Taylor.
Oh, dude, don't go there.
If they're like, oh, no, we can't fuck right now. I'm on my period. Are you guys like, nah, I don't mind. And you're still down for the get down or does that turn you off?
I don't mind.
I think that's that has to be a mutual.
It's of course,
not, it's I, not just my.
I
choice.
Know that. Of course, it's a mutual thing. Of course, it's not like I'm gonna fuck you no matter. Of course, like that goes without saying.
That's implied. Okay,
but
sure.
But
I have a question. Is it? And this is actually. A
but
question.
Answer mine first.
I'm gonna answer your question
with another question.
Yeah, with another
question directed to somebody else.
Okay. Leslie, is it? I don't know if this is a fact, but is it a fact that ladies get more? Get hornier on their periods?
I think for some women, yes.
Yeah.
I also think for some women, like, before their period starts,
yeah,
that can be the thing. I think every lady is different.
Right. Is that like a hormone
probably.
Increase thing?
Yeah.
I think it probably has something to do with baby making.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
So,
then come back to that. I think Bridie gets a lot more turned on when she's on her period. I've noticed. I don't have a problem doing it when she's on her period. The only thing is having sex while someone's on their period is it's a logistical thing. It's like, well,
there's a little bit more planning.
Yeah, there's a little. Yeah, exactly. you gotta bust out grandma's plastic sheets.
Because
you
know? If we're
don't just do it on the top of the duvet.
Why are they grandmas?
Why are they grandmas?
Hold on, only old people have those weird plastic sheets.
In the nature of being completely honest on this podcast, I personally have no problem with having sex when my girlfriend's on her period. Like it doesn't turn me off. It doesn't bother me in the least bit. Of course, it is a logistical thing. That's why I have a set of red sheets.
Oh God!
You set that one up. Well,
it's too bad people can't see your fucking face, because when you set it, you just put this big, gross grin on your face, like.
But I'm smiling because I do actually have a set of red sheets, but I definitely don't put them on before.
But this is on the serious. I don't particularly mind. I don't have. I'm not. But on the flip side, I don't think Kyla is really into it when she's on her period. But when you asked how much do periods gross you out, I think that when I was like a teen, it definitely did. Like the subject of it was definitely like, oh, no, don't bring that up. And then maybe in my early 20s and stuff like that. But I mean, as you get more mature, which a lot of people don't. That it stays like a taboo subject.
Yeah. You know what? This is really funny because we're like several minutes in and we haven't even touched on.
Oh, what it is?
Not even that. We just got on a tangent about do we bone while our significant other?
Yeah,
is
but
on
I think
period.
That
I think
hey,
that's
hey,
an, you know, I think it's an important thing to talk about.
Do you have sex when you're on your period?
Yes.
All right.
And one thing, like sometimes sex can actually sort of alleviate pain when you're on your period. However, with my condition, sometimes like I'm just in too much pain, particularly I get a lot of like lower back pain, in which case it's just like, don't come near me.
So why don't you just tell us what endometriosis is? Because like, yes. I feel like there's probably quite a few people who are listening to this and going,
we've laid a good foundation for just the alleviating some stigma around or talking about not being taboo about periods, but it's more than just a period.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Time, I think.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. Period.
Exclamation.
So tell us about what it's all about.
Thank you. Okay, so basically it's like when a woman has her period, what has happened through like that whole month is she's built up something called the endometrium, which is a lining in the uterus. And the point of that is that if she were to become pregnant, that would actually continue to grow and be like a soft cushioning spot for where the baby
will. A lining of what? Okay. Just like,
well, it's tissue, right? Tissue. So that's okay, why when sure. when women have their period, they're technically shedding their endometrium.
Okay, so that the blood that's coming out is the tissue.
Exactly. So it's not necessarily tissue, but it's like it's not just blood. There's actually, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, like, we're not you don't have to be an expert.
It's stuff to.
It's like a cozy substance for a baby to nestle in.
Exactly.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
And
baby
so
baby nest juice.
Yeah,
is that okay? Can we put it that way?
Did you just look up the medical term?
Like, yeah, I just Googled it, guys. Baby nest juice.
Oh God. So yeah, basically, when a woman's on her period, she's getting like that. That's clearing out. Because she's not pregnant, and therefore her body is punishing her. That's not it. Feels like it, but that's not it.
God's wrath.
God, God is coming down on you.
Yeah. So for women with endometriosis, what is happening is that tissue is elsewhere in her body. So there are a couple of, like, we actually don't know why this happens.
Wait, like it builds up in other places, not just in the uterus?
Yeah. Okay. So...
But is the uterus like the origin spot?
Like, does it start there and then travel?
And then travels.
This is the thing. They don't 100% know. So some, like, early on, I think with endometriosis research, they were thinking that, like, oh, maybe it's retrograde. So some women, they're not clearing at all, and it like is basically like going out into like their fallopian tubes, their ovaries, any nearby tissue. But they've also found this stuff in like lungs, people's noses, eyes, brains.
Whoa. So, and I'm only going to say this because I think it's kind of silly and fun, but also B, because I have no other word to put to it. So endometriosis, if you have endometriosis, you could potentially be growing this baby nest juice.
Oh, God.
In random parts of your body.
Yeah.
So then, when you have your period, so you not only bleed from your vagina, but you bleed from your nose and mouth.
Here's the thing: is when you have your period,
there's no way.
Well, then, stop. You no.
That is
so,
not
okay.
It.
So if it travels up through, but they found but it I, in, they found I, it in.
Yeah,
go
they,
ahead.
I
yeah.
do want to know. Found in women's lungs and their brains and their eye, like, and that's more rare. It's generally like in the pelvic region that you're going to.
But
find
they're not
it.
Shedding it from there. They're not.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because when we're on our periods, we're not bleeding. We're just like the material is leaving the body.
Yeah.
And so what happens with endometriosis is there's nowhere for it to go.
So, in all seriousness, if it's in your lungs, would you cough it up or
that? I'm not entirely sure.
Or if it's in your nose, like, do you feel like? Do they feel it? Do you feel it?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Can you, without us interrupting you, sum up what is happening when you get your period?
Yeah. So basically, that tissue, that material, that buildup would be
the baby nest juice.
Yeah, the baby nest juice would be leaving your body. But of course, if you have that tissue in places, like even just over on your ovaries, there's nowhere for it to go. But you're still getting the inflammation because, like, prostaglandins are secreted during your period so that you contract your uterus, which are what those like menstrual cramps are. Because the idea with that is it's similar, like it's same with labor when you're trying to push out a baby, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah,
but
it's just your insides trying to purge.
Contraction.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So you're still getting that happening, but of course, like, that's not, there's nowhere for it to go. It builds up. It can grow further. Some women have like full on, like what they call chocolate cysts, which are just like sort of like filled with,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but did you, what?
Yeah. So
chocolate cysts?
And well, they're called chocolate cysts because they're filled with blood. So they look like really dark chocolate.
Oh my God.
I know. Well, here's the thing.
I'm looking at Taylor going, hey, Taylor, still got problems with it. You still cool with periods?
Yeah. So
I'm getting better and better.
About a year ago, I saw a gynecologist.
I love chocolate.
No. But you'll never see that. That's inside. That's like somewhere inside.
Yeah. Sure.
But I had a gynecologist explain it to me where like some women get like really big buildup and that's called chocolate cysts. Mm-hmm. But other women have more like sprinkles is how she described it. And I was like, is this all food? It's all food.
Right? It's all food related.
It's all food.
When it comes to a period.
But of course, like even, and like I was telling Jeremy earlier, is that it doesn't matter how much actual like stuff you have. inside, you can have a lot of pain from a like small sprinkle amounts, or you can have like no pain and have like huge cysts inside and just not know.
So is so clear this up for me. Mm-hmm. Is it more bleeding than normal? Does that occur, or is that a total I'm making up?
No, that would be something different. Although maybe some women do have more bleeding, but I don't think so.
So it's that you are building up this tissue in places where it can't
leave.
It has nowhere to go.
It can't get out the way that it normally would if it was just developing in your uterus, like it naturally does.
Exactly.
To leave during your period.
So one of the theories is that when some women are on their periods, they don't get rid of everything, and it like somehow travels to other places in their body. That hasn't been proven, and there are other theories that are quite different. Like some say that endometrial cells can actually travel through the bloodstream, so it's not the actual tissue itself that's traveling.
It's on the cellular level.
Exactly. And then the cells are then combining into tissue elsewhere
exactly.
in the body.
Exactly.
So I'm actually really interested in this episode because my girlfriend experiences like extreme menstrual cramps.
And so does
Bridie. And we've discussed the possibility that she might have endometriosis.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, can you talk more about like the actual
symptoms?
Physical pain that's involved with it? Because I know that she's been like keeled over sometimes, like can't
straight
do anything. Right.
Debilitating.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And something like one of the reasons I was really intrigued about coming on the show is because a lot of women who do have terrible pain, I think when they're younger or even throughout life, are often told by either other women in their lives, like their moms or their aunts or even doctors themselves, where it's like, no, that's just a period. That's the way it is.
Like you just might experience it more aggressively than somebody else and everybody's different type thing.
Yeah, totally. But also there's this sort of acceptance of like, you're a woman now.
Yeah, periods
it's
hurt.
Pain.
Yeah, periods like, hurt. Like you're growing. Yeah, sure. This is a growing pains.
Because periods hurt for mostly for any woman.
Yeah.
But it's just a more excruciating sensation of the pain when endometriosis
occurs. Like my period pain is frequently terrible. But I often experience I kind of have like at least like five different types of pain I experience on the regular, where I'm like, oh, that's my ovary over there. Or like, oh, that is my cervix, or that's my uterus.
Well, it gets that specific.
That's a crazy sensitivity to develop.
Yes. And like typically because I have pain throughout the month. I don't just have it with my period.
Yeah.
And like the other thing I would say is that for women who have really bad periods, if they're not experiencing pain outside of that, there are other things that could be contributing to that are also valid reasons to seek out a doctor's help. And I guess some women are just like, well, I was told I should suck it up. And
yeah, that was the question that I had, was that if the pain is consistent not only through your period but outside of it as well, is that caused but because you are continuously getting the contractions, or because it's trying to expel what it can't?
No, so in those instances, the reason you're getting pain is because often the cells, the tissue, it has actually adhesed, that's not a word, I don't think.
Adhesions. Glued. You're talking about adhesions.
Adhesions. It's formed adhesions on other tissue. So like next to muscle. Or sometimes it's actually gluing muscle to muscle. So
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all kinds of reasons why you're experiencing pain.
For example, when you have your period, is it possible that you could like all of that adhesion is holding everything together, and then you're contracting and trying to force it out, and instead of a normal period in quotations where it would kind of come out slowly or steadily, it just kind of could all tear off at the same time and you just have one kind of movement that would release it all?
No.
Okay, the reason why I ask is,
did you just relate that to a bowel movement?
Yeah. I was trying I don't. Chelsea's had experienced like extreme pain, and she'll have like awful period cramps, and then like all of a sudden in like one go, like she said, it feels like almost like her entire inside of her uterus like comes off in like one tissue.
Fuck. Dude, that gives me phantom uterus pain.
And like the best way that she could describe it to me, not being able to understand as a guy, is like, it almost feels like she's like having a miscarriage during her period.
Holy shit. That sounds awful.
And she has been in to talk to doctors and has seen them about it, and they've said a lot of like what you were just saying, and in the sense that, oh yeah, that's just a normal You know?
So that makes
and she's
me...
like, yeah, she's like, oh, doesn't fucking seem normal.
Well, would they do X-rays or
that makes me want to know, like, okay. How did you find out that you had endometriosis?
Yeah. So let me think. Like, when I was 21, I was about to go on a big trip, like 4 months in Europe, and I started to get this like weird pain on my right side, kind of like just below where you might think your appendix would be.
Sure.
And so it was sort of like coming, it would be throbbing, and it almost felt like someone was just kind of like poking at me. And it was uncomfortable, and I didn't think too much of it because I was like, no, it's not too bad. I'm not in too much pain. And I had grown up having really bad period pains always. And so it's like that didn't come out of the blue. That was always happening. And I just kind of, again, was like, well, that's just the way it is. I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so anyway, this was happening for like months and months and months at a time. And I am a bit of a hypochondriac. I really am. And so eventually it was like, wow, okay, if this is continuing to happen, something must be up. And the pain would get worse. And anyway, I went to see, like, I got back from Europe and I didn't have a doctor. And I went to a walk-in and I described my symptoms to like this man who was pretty much like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. He was just like... Like I was telling him all about it, and he was like, "Yeah,
okie doke."
Yeah, pretty much. So you can have an ultrasound, or, and I swear to God, he didn't say like physical exam or pelvic exam. He did this gesture.
No.
Which, yeah.
Or I could put my fingers in you, and then we'll see what
for
happens.
Anyone who couldn't see that, Leslie just takes two fingers and kind of thrusts them up into the air.
Like what you would do if you were getting almost peanut butter out of the jar.
Oh, yeah. That was a great visual.
Picture that.
Well, this
he's
is
just like, okie doke, we can do this.
Yeah. And so like 21-year-old me was just like, I will take the other. Whatever. What was the other one? I will do that.
Let's do the ultrasound.
I'll use the machine one.
Yeah. I'll pass on that peanut butter scoop. Thanks.
I was looking into like the history of endometriosis. And typically what we think of, like, have you ever heard of like hysteria? Like,
yeah, like as in a legit medical issue, hysteria?
Yeah. Well, it used to be, it was often like women who were complaining of like phantom pain. It was real pain, but they, you know, doctors were like, that's not true. That's not real.
Doctors were like, I'm a man and I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a man and I know your vagina can't hurt. No. She's a witch.
Phantom pain? Phantoms? Burner.
Oh, we're laughing. But,
that was a very sad part.
A sad, sad time in our
carry on.
Our existence.
Yes, I was with Dr. Nick. I decided to go with an ultrasound, but of course I had to wait a couple of months. And in the meantime, I got my own doctor, who has been awesome, and did the ultrasound. I don't remember if anything really came back. I had x-rays. I remember, like, I think I had pretty much any test they could do. Like, wherever they could put a camera, they put a camera. Wherever, like, whatever, like, you can drink stuff and they take, like, the crazy special x-ray.
Yeah.
Anything they could do, they did. And I'm incredibly healthy otherwise, which was awesome to know.
Sweet.
It is really cool, though, and you're like, oh, that is what my intestine looks like inside.
Yeah.
Especially for a hypochondriac, too.
I know. It really cured me.
Giving you a solid from your hypochondrianism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's perfect. Good job, John.
Thanks. Yes, but eventually I went to see a gynecologist, and technically I haven't been like 100% diagnosed, because the only way to do that is to have a surgery called a laparoscopy, where they like go in and like find the actual stuff. But
and then like exam and then like do a biopsy on
no, I think they pretty much are like, that is what it is.
Oh, if it's there, then that's it.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
But they think they can see it with the ultrasound.
Yes. And like I've had several ultrasounds since, and there have been times where like they see stuff. They actually, there are two types of ultrasound, or maybe more, but I've had two different types. The first one is like as you see on TV, like with babies, where
the jelly on the belly.
Yeah. But they also have a transvaginal one, which...
Whoa, that word is super cool.
Transvaginal. That is the name of if I'm ever in a band. We're going to be called the transvaginal.
It sounds like an airline.
Ultrasounds.
It's very useful. However, it is very disconcerting when you're not expecting it. Like, this was my second round of ultrasounds, and I go in and like do the regular one, and they're like, okay, you can go pee now, because you have to drink a bunch of water and hold it forever. And then they're like, okay, come back then, and we're going to do this one. And they hold up this wand that they're like putting like a condom on.
They're like Wingardium Leviosa.
Pretty much. You're like, I don't.
Asio chocolate cyst.
But yes.
For all the Harry Potter fans out there.
That was amazing.
Alan Rickman, rest in peace.
Don't bring Alan.
Alan Rickman's a part of the podcast now.
Oh, God. Okay.
They
put the condom on the wand. They put the condom on the wand.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, like, go to the washroom, come back for this. It was like, I have not done that. What is this? I don't want to. But you can, again, it's so, when they let you see the screen, it is amazing to sort of look inside and be like, oh my God, that's me. I look, what is that?
Is it any different from like a pap, what they do when you get your pap? Oh,
yes. Yeah.
So this is a camera?
No, this one was an ultrasound.
Oh, ultrasound.
You can start to see like, oh, that's an ovary over there, and that's an ovary over there.
Okay,
that
so I have a question about the female like the experience of having that done to you. Like, mm-hmm. is that really uncomfortable to have that done, or is it something?
Yeah, like how invasive
like,
is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's what
not
I wonder.
Not the worst. It's just one of those things that if you're not expecting it, and it's kind of like, oh, a doctor's going between my legs today? I didn't know that.
Like, it would have been helpful if the day before they were
and
like,
the reason,
you should expect
the reason
this.
Why I ask it and the reason why I wonder is because if there's somebody out there who's listening to this and they're like, oh, fuck, like, I've been dealing with symptoms similar to that, but I'm just really nervous about going in and having somebody like kind of, I don't want to say violate, but
have you
almost,
ever had a colonoscopy?
Almost violate. No, I haven't.
Dude, but a colonoscopy, I feel like
I'm just trying to relate as a man, yeah. Because I can't relate. To that.
I can't either, because when I hear Leslie, you talk about, you know, having a transvaginal ultrasound, the only thing that I can relate to is like, well, I could never picture anyone. Oh God, I can't even think of catheters that like they actually make me.
Yeah.
They give the phantom pain. Like, legit hurt.
Yeah,
but that would be painful.
But you're talking about
that
the test
be
where they
and,
stick
and,
the
and this is not
painful
because it's going in a place that things go in, like tampons regularly go in there, penises go in there sometimes.
Depending on the vagina.
This is true. Yeah, but also then coming back to you know, okay, so what's the other my butt, right? Like having things put in my butt medically, which I've had done, never a good time. And sometimes having things put in my butt when it's not a medical situation.
And it is a good
kind
time.
Kind of a good time. Yeah, I think it depends. Very gentle, very gentle. But
milk the prostate. Milk,
oh,
milk
God. Don't say milk the prostate.
Yeah, don't say that. It just, to me, it's like, oh God, I can't imagine. However, for females, it's like, I mean,
that's part
are
of...
Are there females out there that are like, oh, pap tests, I can't even imagine. I can't even think about that. Like, I can't...
I've had some friends who don't, like, who have been like, I'm putting off my pap test because I don't want to go. And I've always had an okay time with them. My doctor's always been great. Yeah. I've since actually had a colposcopy done, which is basically every time you do a pap test, they're looking for any chance that you have cervical cancer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what that is all about. And so I had a pap test that came back. It was sort of like, something does not look quite right. So they go back in, they look, and they basically find what looks like a freckle on my cervix. And
cute.
I don't think it actually looks like a freckle, but the doctor was like, it's kind of like if you find a freckle and you get rid of it preemptively because it could become skin cancer.
Right.
Same thing with whatever was on my cervix. It was like, we just get rid of it because it could become cancer.
Well, are they mistaking a, like a cyst that you have? Or
No. So your cervix is like, do you know...
My girlfriend has gone over a pap test with me in detail, but
can I tackle this one? I believe I know what the cervix looks like.
Ooh.
Tell me about it.
And this is how I've always pictured it. The word cervix, every time I hear it, it's a very visual word for me. Every time, I don't know why, but every time I hear the word, I picture kind of like a screen, like a dental dam, but with a very, very tiny hole poked in the middle.
I mean,
super uninformative.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So basically,
I was
like,
wrong, wasn't I?
No, you're not wrong. Like the
give
cervix,
me more. Give
the
me
cervix
more.
Is basically like what,
It's like a wall.
It is kind of a wall. It's like that's what's going to allow any sperm through. It's like
or a
uterus.
Or a baby coming out.
Like a glory hole.
Yes, which is why that, and that's actually what's causing, like,
Jesus, Brian.
Your uterus is contracting to cause your cervix to dilate or get bigger during labor or your period. Labor, obviously, more intense because the cervix has to get larger to let a baby's head through.
Yeah.
And shoulders and,
Now crazy. I'm thinking of.
See, that's what makes me cringe.
Yeah.
That test, fine, me baby.
Now I'm thinking of the gate on the north wall at Game of Thrones.
I have a question though about pap tests, and I know that this isn't about this necessarily about the cervix.
See, this is what happens when you get three boys that like don't know anything about periods.
But I think this is really
tell
important.
Us more about
because I wonder. I wonder why are pap tests so important for women, and why is there not a mandatory male equivalent?
Well, because pap tests are for cervical cancer, so. That little area, when cancer strikes, it typically moves incredibly fast and is very aggressive.
Cervical cancer particularly?
Yes. So it's hard to catch it. It's not hard to catch it. If you get your pap regularly, it should be really easy to catch it in advance, which is why they do all that screening and why paps are so important. However, if you don't catch it, I knew a woman who, I think from diagnosis to the end of her life was probably like 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's rather typical. Jeez. So if you're not on top of it,
I think HPV is a big one too, because HPV can give you
cervical cancer.
It can lead to cervical cancer.
Yes.
And it's so fucking.
Well, but there's no equivalent
in the common cold.
Like testicular cancer is not on par with.
Well, what Jeremy said is the thing is because you're continuously at risk if you're sexually active of catching HPV, which could then in a given year lead to the potential to develop cervical cancer. So you're always checking.
Jared,
for it.
Did you say the other day 8 in 10?
I've heard the statistic that 8 out of 10 Canadians,
but
have HPV. HPV.
Yeah. Keep going, Taylor.
Kyla just had her pap like a couple months ago, maybe, and she was telling me that. If you go and get your pap and you're with the same sexual partner and there's no signs of anything that jump out, that you're good for 2 years before you have to get your next pap.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, whereas like because I had a colposcopy, like I just had my last checkup the other day and they were like, so you have to come every year. Like if anything like strange ever happens, it's always once a year.
Yeah. Do you know of any time based on maybe endometriosis or if they need to catch something or if that becomes more frequent? Then once a year?
Yeah, like for me, like I had my colposcopy done. So they go in with a little like crazy electric tool and they cut off the little part of my cervix, which like...
Whoa.
It actually would like they
there's a breach in the wall. The White Walkers are getting through.
The White Walkers.
Oh God. I was thinking little sperms.
No.
Yeah, that is,
you need to watch GOT, bro.
Yeah,
so basically yeah, they take that and they cut that. And so afterwards, I had like, I think, 2 checkups in the past year just to go in. But now, they like, nothing else has happened. So like,
sorry, what's the purpose of the colposcopy?
Oh, basically, again, it's like they're taking off cells that look like they have mutated or could mutate. And so it's like...
Okay, so like that freckle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Now, did that freckle have anything to do with endometriosis?
I don't believe so. No? I don't think there's been any crossover... Right.
Let's go back to
that was good though. I think that was really fucking fascinating
and also super important to talk
I feel
about
educated yeah, after that
like especially well, for a guy who knows fuck all about that stuff
like,
about
it's also like that's amazing. Gonna be a big part of any woman's life if they're sexually active or not even if not like at a certain age you should be getting a pap anyway, so that is like any woman out there who's sort of like wondering like do I have endometriosis or even something like there are other disorders that can also cause really bad period pain.
Yeah.
Or if someone has like a really heavy flow or if their period's never regular, those things can be natural, but those things could also be something. Yeah.
There's with something about super heavy flow that always makes me giggle.
But super heavy mega flow?
The crazy,
or are we talking
the
about
crazy
that with,
thing about
Emily?
The crazy thing about a woman's body is that the variables that affect your period are... They're so vast, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and when you think of even just birth control, like you take this pill every day to regulate that. And if you miss one, like
it's
you
crazy.
Could,
it's
you,
crazy.
Like,
and
it's
you guys
so easy
gotta
to
go
fuck your body
every
up.
Single month.
Which is, it's insane, it's because it's never talked about either. And it's just like something that just kind of goes on. And holy shit, like it's such an important and regular part
how
of.
How fucking lucky are we?
Yeah, I think in two parts, we take that for granted as guys.
Big time.
And we B, don't recognize the struggle and the strength that a woman,
you know what?
A
woman I love
has.
This.
And yeah. women, well, women I don't mean, talk, women nice. Don't talk about it a lot. And I don't know what, and maybe we can ask you, Leslie, about like what your, how you feel that guys would react in talking about this. But like, to me, I'm totally open about, it doesn't bother me at all, because I find it fascinating and I respect and appreciate that women go through that.
Yeah, well, like there are a lot of different symptoms that people can get with endometriosis, but the biggest thing for me is just like chronic pain. And also I find it will affect my mood. And those are two things where like, I don't know, like I talk about it with my partner all the time. Like he's, you know, he obviously lives with me and therefore like he's living with endometriosis as well, because if I'm in a lot of pain, he's going to know about it.
Right.
Now, this might be too scientific of a question, but is the correlation between endometriosis and your period and your mood, is that due to the pain, or is that due to endometriosis having a greater effect on your hormone fuckery?
I would say it's both.
That was really scientifically put.
Thanks.
I liked it.
Hormone fuckery.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I guess the thing is that, sometimes being in pain can make me like grouchy or
like anyone.
Irritable. Yeah, of course. But there are times where I have felt like before pain has even kind of hit, I feel this like, I can feel my mood shifting in a way that I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I'll be fine. And then suddenly I'm like, I'm going to hide in my bathtub forever. I hate everything.
Right,
And or I'm really sad all of a sudden. And there's no, I can tell there's no real reason. And I feel it in my bloodstream in a different way. And I think that is hormonal.
And then you get the, so you can almost tell when the pain's going to come on because you feel that. So you,
yeah, exactly.
So you have, I lost the word.
The other thing, too, is that part of my pain treatment, particularly, like, the pain I get through the month can be all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, sometimes one of my ovaries just feels like it's, like, on fire. Sometimes it feels like there's, like, someone's, like, stabbing it. Sometimes it feels like it's sort of, like, twisting around. These are all, and I have no idea what's happening inside. It just feels this way.
It blows my mind that your body is telling you that shit. Like, your body is creating these signals that it's telling your mind to like think like, holy shit, my part of me is on fire.
That's really interesting, because we all have I think we all have that capacity to be aware of what our organs are trying to tell us. You get extreme pain, so that's like the signal that goes off. We all have that. But the signals are so much more subtle that we often don't pay attention to them. And we have the ability.
But what's the benefit? What's the benefit in your...
I mean, the point of pain is pretty much... Like, I think it's... The idea of pain is to let you know that something is wrong, right? Like, if you've cut yourself, the pain lets you know, like, oh, I'm bleeding, I have to attend to it.
But it's so cyclical and regular that... But why does your body need to tell you every single month?
It's bullshit. Well, in particular, something I was looking at is that...
Just the way the body works, yeah. Bruh.
God is such an asshole. Continue. I want you to continue.
Okay, so prostaglandins are something that are secreted, sort of like a hormone, but it's not actually a hormone. And its main function, I mean, one of its functions is actually for contractions for labor or your period, but they are involved with inflammation. And so if you've ever taken like Advil or... like I take Aleve or Naproxen, like that's actually trying to fight those prostaglandins and therefore fight inflammation, and that help fight pain.
That's what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, you're talking about this pain that you experience every month. What do you like? What do you do? What kind of
techniques, processes? Yeah,
exactly. Like, what do you use to fight that pain?
So I think of it in two things. So like, there's the pain I can get kind of on a day to day basis, and then there's the pain I get during my period, which is like can be the debilitating sort of like I can't do anything. And so for my period, I mean, I had a doctor kind of change my life a few years ago where she was just like, have you ever tried naproxen? I'm like, no, what is it? Is it going to be like crazy drug?
What will I see shit? Yeah,
exactly. Well, because at some point, my family doctor was giving me Tylenol 3 to combat pain, but I'm really like,
whoa.
Codeine. Dude,
I love Tylenol 3. You know, like when I threw my back out, literally a month ago, mm-hmm. I was like, well, sweet. Now I get to just take some painkillers and muscle relaxants and have a wacky good time.
And then like, you know, for times like that, it's great. If you're trying to like get on with your life and still go to work.
Is that, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Sick Boy Podcast. I think removing stigma and promoting prescription drug use.
The views of the host on this podcast do not condone
this. No. But I will say it. There is a, even when I broke my collarbone and they gave me a bunch of fucking Dilaudid. I was like, look.
Here's the thing.
It's payments. Oh, this is bad. I shouldn't say it, but I don't, you know.
If anyone has ever been in some pretty extreme pain before, you will know there is nothing feels as good as being pain-free afterwards.
Dude, taking those meds when you're not in pain is the pits.
But dude, that's why we should legalize marijuana.
Yeah.
Right. Did you say it's the
it's,
pits?
It's the pits. It's awful. I don't like it.
No, and that's
is
why.
Is that the opposite of it's the tits?
Well, I don't know. I think
it's the tits is like celebratory.
Tits is like, woo, that's the tits.
But it's the pits.
The
is
pits
like,
is like, whoa, that's the pits. Ugh, that's the pits.
Okay, so
thanks for clearing that up.
So Tylenol 3 didn't work for me because if I'm at work trying to like get by, maybe I'm pain, like there's no pain, but I also just can't function on Tylenol 3. Codeine really hits me.
Totally. Does a leave work well for you?
Yes. Yeah, so like, here's the thing for any woman out there who is still struggling with really bad pain, if you take it like the few days leading up to your period, it actually will help lessen your flow and cut down on pain. So you can use it preemptively.
Oh. Do you have to take,
is this not common knowledge to ladies?
It was not to me and it changed my life.
Crazy. Are you regular on a leave or is it only leading up to your period?
I use it just during my period.
Are you tired of hearing the same old wellness advice? It's time to dig deeper and listen to America Dissected from Crooked Media, the podcast that's cutting into the science, culture, and policy that shapes our health. From doctors fighting for their rights to the surprising truths about sunscreen, America Dissected dives deep into the state of health. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of America Dissected, available on all major podcast platforms.
So do you have like a calendar where you're like, oh shit,
I have an app.
Do you really use the period?
There's a bunch of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it insensitive that I thought that I wanted to have all of the women in my office at my last job? I want to have a calendar of their menstrual cycles so I could be like, oh, our HR manager's on a period. Is that insensitive to say, or is that like,
I think at the foundation of that thought, you're actually just trying to get your job done efficiently, because it's not a secret that if a woman's going through a period, that it changes her hormones, which affects her mood, which affects
anybody
how she
whose
reacts
hormones
to
are fucked up. It's going to be hard.
And
to
I and I do.
If
I
you're
going to
keep a calendar sorry. So that you know when, like honestly,
it's kind of a smart
that
idea.
That time of the month, I tend to find chocolate bars in the cupboard in my house, and I think that's incredibly smart.
Oh yeah,
of my partner. You know, good like job. Exactly right.
It's
like
smart. It's so hard for me because as a male, is it insensitive to say like, oh, I wish I could have a calendar of all of the menstrual cycles of my female colleagues so that you know when they're going to be irritable and maybe harder to get along with?
I guess it's insensitive in the sense that assuming that all women are going to have that. I know women who their period is like a breeze for them and it's always like, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I get you though.
Cause like, Bri, I get what you're saying. Cause I feel like that's a, like to me, I'm like, oh, that's a really smart idea. Like that just makes a lot of sense. And everyone would just kind of get along better if we all just knew and we were like, oh, well, Sally's on her period and she, but I would love that.
What if women had a week off when they were on their
period? There's this part of me that's like, you could, like, if someone is on their period and they're totally having a meltdown, mm-hmm. you can't be like, I understand. You're on your period.
Yeah, oh, man.
Definitely don't say that.
This is actually a thing. This was a a thing on The Office. I'm pretty sure on an episode of The Office, well, Dwight was doing research to find out when all the women in The Office was
in Community. Abed does it. He like, but he doesn't know what he was doing at first. He's like, I was just tracking when people were more irritated with me, and he's giving Annie candy like or chocolate in
that episode. That's right.
And I'm like, honestly, and to be honest too, like especially if you have endometriosis, chocolate, particularly like sugar, is not actually good at that time.
Oh.
But you crave it like hell. Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Someone really close to me who suffers from very intense cramps and pains. Like they're out of commission for that period of time. And like to me, logically, I think, oh fuck, give that person the day. Like they should definitely have the day off of work because you can't expect them to function and be a good employee. You might as well say. They would be a better employee if you said, take the day off, or take a couple days off because I know that this is something that you're dealing with and it's challenging for you to deal with and you're going to be more functional with me and a better employee
if you say, do you think
there's a difference between a female boss and a male boss? If like, let's say an employee goes up and asks that question, what do you think the difference
is? The relatability and understanding, their capacity of being able to understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
I think that you're probably right. But also, if I was a male boss and somebody came up to me, because I have the relationship with someone who's going through intense things like that, I would be able to say,
yeah,
definitely take the time off.
Because the reality of our current world is that males are predominantly in those
positions.
Yes. I had one male boss who was really understanding. I probably don't tell every boss I have, but I'd worked there for a while and I did explain to him, like, sometimes if you notice that I'm like just a little going to be more short with you, or I just hold myself differently, or sometimes I just might need to say I have to go home, like I'm in pain. And he was incredibly understanding. Also, though, in high school, I used to claim that I was on my period like every week to get out of gym class because I felt like my teacher was just like, period.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie crying wolf.
Oh, well, you know what? That's it. You know, kudos to you for taking advantage of the awkwardness of a guy.
I pay for it every month.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to beat this to death, but I don't want anybody who's listening out there, particularly women, because I know that we have fucking a lot of female listeners. I don't want anyone to think that can we just all agree that like it would be better if we all knew that people were on their period, and if people get really like, especially if you're dealing with endometriosis or something, like if we all just kind of had this agreement that.
Yeah, but you're crossing lines because, I mean, there's a difference. There's a difference between being open about it and then also like respecting your privacy. Because,
absolutely.
Because obviously all women aren't like, man, I wish I could just talk about my period to all the guys around.
And how fucking crazy would that be if Brian was working in the office and he walks around to every female and goes, hello, Sally. I'm just wondering if
I'm working on my menstrual calendar.
I have my period app up here and I just want to know when your menstrual period is so that I can.
It would be incredibly offensive.
Stay away from you for that week.
It would be incredibly.
That would be fucking crazy.
But you know what?
But I also, at the same time, I think there's. I'm like, God, that's kind of a smart idea, though.
Imagine, but we're also saying. But hold on, you're saying that I'm going to stay away from you for that week, and I know you're kidding around.
Yes,
it's like if that was the reality, and you're trying to get a calendar. I mean, man, we're killing this calendar, but
I know.
We're
going to get our first bout of hate mail.
Yeah, we are. But the idea that I'll stay away from you that time. It's like, I'll just be more mindful of how I interact with you.
Yeah.
You should always, of course, be mindful of how you're interacting with
people. Do we sound like a bunch of fucking idiots right now?
Okay. Leslie.
I have one more thing that I want to add about that, and it's fuck it, let's just move on.
Tell us how we sound. Do we sound ridiculous?
I don't think so. I mean, here's the thing. I think if you are aware of like you all have girlfriends, partners, wives,
yes,
I think if you are aware of what she's going through and where she is and your understanding of that during that time, I think that's awesome.
But almost every guy does, or at least has at some point in some capacity, which makes me think that every fucking guy should be able to understand what a woman goes through each month.
Yeah, but
They should. Oh, are, yeah. They definitely
like,
should.
Think about there's the, like, the uneducated,
you know what?
Immature.
Fuck it. There should be like a requirement by the government that once a year, every man has to wear this type of some type of contraction that inflicts pain on them. and like that replicates period pain. So that they're like, oh, fuck. Oh, I don't want to do that again. Oh, fuck.
My it's called the relatability program. The gender relatability program.
I'm going to reel this back. Let's come back to Leslie.
Okay. We were talking about pain management.
Yeah.
So a couple of things.
And you were saying
too,
that Aleve
that's
is,
helped a lot.
Yeah.
My biggest problem was because I was using it so frequently that it started to give me really bad nausea and stomach pain because it can do that. I've since sort of like resolved that issue.
I wonder how that what that does to your liver too, taking so much Aleve.
I've heard that Aleve is quite a bit worse than taking like Advil or something. Oh,
yeah. It you is can a, take it's a next step up. Yeah.
You can take milk thistle supplement to counteract the pills in your liver. Milk thistle helps with
Brian's really close with his naturopath.
Yeah.
The thing I would like I recommend is heat therapy. So if you don't have to be out and about, like I have a heating pad that I'll just lie on.
Brady
and then, like,
loves the heat.
Oh,
bath.
It's the best.
Yeah,
thing.
So does Chelsea. Yeah.
Hot baths are the best thing as well. Yeah. But also lifestyle changes. Like I was already a vegetarian when I was diagnosed, but I had looked into it and it seemed like
now you only eat pork. That's just pork, nothing else.
Never pork.
How's that working out for you?
Pure protein.
You're putting things in her mouth.
That didn't land. Yeah,
there's a pun there.
Nope. That didn't land.
Oh yeah, there was.
We'll keep that in just for your embarrassment.
It landed. Yeah. I'm not embarrassed. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Good for you.
Carry on.
So, yes, pain management. I forgot. I
so you're talking about your
diet. About vegetarian. You're
yeah.
a vegetarian.
Oh yeah. So something I was looking into was the fact that, of course, because it's, inflammation is a huge part of endometriosis and pain, of course. If you can reduce things like red meat, dairy, sugar, alcohol, caffeine, those things are all inflammatory, and so you can help that way.
So no fun.
Yeah, which is why, like, I've got coffee right here. I drink pretty frequently. I've tried to cut out sugar.
You try to cram it all in the 3 weeks before it all happens, and then you just cut it out.
Except
for
me,
that
it's
week.
Like it's more the opposite. I have kind of like 1 week that I'm pretty like no symptoms, but 3 weeks like the week before and the week after of my period like are pretty intense as well.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Oh,
that's crazy.
But tell us about that. So like, and this is this an endometriosis thing?
I'm not sure.
Where are you at right now in your cycle?
Let me check my
calendar. The calendar.
Actually, like, no. I
based on how you're feeling.
I got my period. Day
Brian,
one of my period was...
Put your notebook down.
It was... Yeah, so I must be... I'm on day 16, actually, because I started my period on the 1st of January. So this is really... It's really helpful.
So you're... Right. I guess you're kind of in that, that like, hey, I'm feeling great period.
So if we talk to you in, like, a couple weeks...
I'll be fine. I'll be nice as pie. You'll never know.
I believe that. You know what? Yeah. I think that there is, and in the way that we're talking, we're almost talking to the extent that like that week that you're on your period is some crazy, like hellish demon comes out. But it's not that.
I mean, it does, but it's inside me.
So it doesn't come out.
It's just burning and like punching and kicking and screaming.
So you're trying to walk around being all nice and everything, and what you're projecting really is not.
That's the way I look at it. Is that it's not that I'm meaner on my period. It's the fact that like during that time I'm in a lot of pain. I'm uncomfortable. I get really bad back pain, particularly, and it like shoots down into my legs. I've got cramps happening. I often like I've got insomnia. I get like really like brain foggy. I'm really just sort of like a little dumber at that time.
And on that note, I think like it's important to acknowledge that like women, of course, women aren't bitches.
Oh, dude.
I don't know how to say. Okay, let me try to rephrase it so that we don't get hate mail. But
yeah, just don't. Yeah.
No. I think this is important because I think this is important to say. It's important to acknowledge that women aren't always extremely, you know, they're not hard to be around when they're on their periods, but what they're dealing with internally is a lot worse. So they might like you might never know that somebody's on their period.
Everyone deals with
but,
everything
but
differently.
It's important to acknowledge that like even though they might be great on the outside, like they're just having a harder time on the inside hormonally that time of the month.
Which supports the calendar idea, because you want to know how to be like compassionate and everything. Yeah. I'm actually being serious.
No, I know. I'm not going to lie. I have a really tough time being around Bridie during her, like during, cause we're pretty sure that she has endometriosis. Mm-hmm. And when she is in that period of time, it's like, man, it's tough. Like it's tough for everyone involved, right?
Yeah.
And
how many people are involved?
let's not go there. it is tough though. And I always have to keep reminding myself, it's like, oh man, you have no idea, Jer. Like you have no idea what she's going through. Like you can only imagine just by seeing what's going on right now.
But how many guys don't get that?
Well, right? it speaks to the variation, because you're going, oh well, Bridie experiences it really intensely, and I have to be really mindful. My experience with Kyla is that it's basically like I know when it starts and I know when it ends, and that's it. Like Kyla doesn't really experience anything that's too intense that I know of that she's ever vocal about. I don't think I've ever asked her, because she seems so unaffected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just the variation and between, and like, you know, Brian's everything, everyone's so different.
What was the worst pain you've experienced? or do you have any kind of like,
oh, I have. Yeah. There were like the first year that I was diagnosed in the February, I was not taking care of myself. I was I was surviving off of like pots and pots of coffee, and I just remember being in like terrible pain the entire month, which that doesn't happen to me much anymore. The worst pain though was actually not related to endometriosis, but I was given a drug. I've been given this drug twice actually, once for endo, so like that is kind of related. I had an IUD put in. It's an intrauterine device. You guys know this, birth control. Best thing. Like they're great.
The roadside
like they are great, but they're also kind of crazy too.
No, they are crazy. No.
I am not. I don't know. Maybe this isn't for the show, but I'll have to ask Bridie if we do decide to keep this. I really will have to ask her. Bridie had an IUD, mm-hmm. And dude, I was like poking it for like almost
the strings.
Yeah, like a wire. No, I was poking the wires, I was poking like a wire.
Those are the strings, yeah.
For like a good like few months, and one day I was just like, wait a minute, there's something up with the inside of your vagina.
Do you have a UFO in there?
I'm poking some metal in there. It didn't like scratch me, but I could feel it, and I'd go, oh god, that was like. There was like a hook in your vagina. What the fuck is that? And she was like, oh shit, that's my IUD. Apparently it wasn't correctly put in there. Oh. Yeah.
What is this? Sorry.
So it's a little tiny T. There are two types. There's one that's a copper T, and then there's also a hormonal one. So they're very like tiny, and they are placed in the uterus, so past the cervix. And
it's a form of birth control.
Yeah.
And it's like a long-term birth control.
Yeah. So like copper T is good for 5 years. The hormonal ones, I think, are like 3 to 5.
So you don't have to take the pill. You just.
Yeah. And it's like 100. Well,
it's as close as you're going to get. And it's awesome because there's no, like, whereas with the pill, of course, like, like sometimes people are like, oh, I've missed a day, missed another day with this. There's no days missing.
I think the IUD was the reason why I got checked to see if I was sterile or not. Through CF, because I was like poking the metal thing, and I was like, I don't want to poke this with my wiener anymore. I might
is that
be
because
sterile.
You have a larger than average dick?
We're not going there either. And I was poking.
Listen to
it.
The Turn Me On.
That
podcast.
Would be the actual device was like poking out of the cervix, which it should not be.
Yeah, no, and it was like it was straight up metal.
It was
very weird. It was very very weird.
That makes my wiener.
Then I found out I don't shoot sperm, and we were like, take that sucker out.
Yeah.
So you were taking you.
So yeah, so this doesn't happen always. Like I have friends who have had IUDs put in and they don't get this drug, but it's a drug called misoprostol, which is often is used to either like start labor or it can. Whoa. I think it's also used in combination with another drug for an abortion.
So does it like abortion. Open up the cervix more?
Precisely. So it starts those contractions. So the reason it was the worst pain ever was because I basically had like a 12-hour labor.
Oh my god!
It was the worst. Like
Wait, why? So they could put the IUD in.
Exactly, because they wanted the cervix to be more open. Oh. They don't always do this. Sometimes they're just like, all right, let's just do this without that, and it's totally fine.
So does it induces these contractions?
And so some women, it's probably like they're a little bit sensitive to it. I'm particularly sensitive. I've since, because my like taking naproxen started to hurt my stomach, I was prescribed another non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug mixed with misoprostol, which was coating it, which the idea behind that was it's going to coat my stomach and keep me like feeling okay while also helping with pain. When I had my IUD put in, the misoprostol was used vaginally, so I had to put it up me, and then it like that's so I said to the doctor when they prescribed me this second drug, I was like, look, I had a reaction to this before. Is this going to do it again? And they're like, no, because you're going to be like taking it through your stomach, like it'll be totally different. And then I asked the pharmacist the same question, like, just to be really sure, because that was like a lot of pain. Yeah. I don't want to go back to that. And she was like, no, it really shouldn't do that. And it did do that.
Oh, so, fuck. Whoa. Did you tell everybody, like everybody that you asked? Did you go back and be like, hey, listen.
You fucked me up.
You did again.
I haven't. Not the pharmacist, because, I, you know, it's really not her fault. But
it's
not her fault.
Plus, it's out of your way.
But it would be good
back
for her to know, so that she, next time if someone goes, hey, this happened, and I don't want it to happen again, but I'm taking it through my orally, and they go, oh, well, I do. Yeah. I have heard of it happening before.
And I guess the other thing too is in terms of like endo pain, the worst pain I've had that like wasn't, you know, because of a drug is probably that like sometimes like if my uterine contractions are really painful, plus I've got a really sore back. The worst part about it is that like right here wants me to arch back, and then my back wants me to arch forward. So there's just no comfortable way to be.
So like your lower abdomen wants you to like
die,
arch back. Yeah. And your low back is like trying to get you to keel forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting.
And that'll often strike me in the middle of the night. So like that's, I try to be on top of like about keeping like the naproxen nearby or staying on top of it and having it kind of like
try like hanging upside down.
Well,
I've thought about this.
I've heard through, you know, the three of us, Brian, Taylor, and I, we all teach yoga, and I've heard through a few different trainings that, and it keeps coming up, that low lunges, so a pose where essentially you have your one knee down, one leg is forward with your foot on the floor, and you're kind of dropping into your hips so that you're stretching out your hip flexor on one side. I've heard that low lunges are really great for menstrual cramps.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people attest to that and say, yeah, they fucking are.
That's because like you're at so what point during the cycle?
I don't know, but I know I've been told that it's like, oh, you're feeling menstrual cramps. Drop into a really intense low lunge and hold it for a good long time.
Ooh.
And it should.
Well, I wonder if that does it all the time. I wonder if that has something to do with the low back pain that goes with a menstrual cramp, because your psoas muscle, which is your hip flexor, it goes and attaches to your L5 or your L6.
Very, very deep
so
muscle.
So like it attaches to your spine. It attaches to your spine. So like stretching that out, and where your back gets pain when you get a menstrual cramp might alleviate that kind of like need to, or that back pain.
I've also found like yin yoga
as
a preventative, like on the whole, is really helpful.
Yeah.
And
so yin, for people who don't know, is it's the idea of doing yoga poses, mostly all passive. So laying down on the floor, no like constriction of the muscles or anything like that. But holding these poses for really long periods of time, deep stretching,
like about like 5 to 6 minutes
per side, exactly. Yeah. And that's where, you know, these low lunges, that's a big part of yin.
Yeah. I've never liked those in yin, because I want intense. I just want to lie down and just be like, I'll fold over here and lay down,
just put me in the position and let me do my thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
What would you say to someone who's dealing with this now, or dealing with symptoms of this now, maybe perhaps a younger version of yourself? What type of advice would you be able to go back and give that person?
I mean, to be honest, I'm the way I handled it worked out well for me. Like it wasn't that long from me like discovering symptoms to actually getting someone's, to me, it felt like a long time. Like it was probably about 2 years of testing and sort of like, is it this? Is it that? What is it?
Doctor's testing?
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think the statistic is that like most women, it's like somewhere between like 6 and 10 years between symptoms and diagnosis.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, this is what I'm... can I rephrase your question?
Yeah, please. I was just carrying the conversation with that, but...
What would you say to someone like Bridie or to someone like Chelsea who... It seems pretty fucking, like, clear that they very well might have it.
Yeah.
But they've been told, well, you just have really intense period cramps. Or they've been told, well, you might have endometriosis.
I feel like they need to just, they need to go to their doctor and go, test me for it.
Yes.
Like, I want to know.
But how? This is the question. Yeah. It's so.
Because Chelsea has.
Does it make a difference if you are absolutely diagnosed? Or is it like, well, you're diagnosed, now you just know. It's not really going to change much. Like, there's not that much that you can do.
Yeah, there are a couple of things, because you can get a laparoscopy, in which case, but they go in and they try to get rid of as much of the tissue and material as possible, and like get rid of the adhesions in particular, because that's where you're getting a lot of pain from. Mm-hmm. So there is a surgical option. My doctor, based on, there were times that I felt like maybe I should have pushed for surgery more, but I have found ways of managing my pain, and it's not the greatest. Sometimes it's awful, but I can still live my life.
Do you think you'll ever do that?
Route? I think so. Yeah. And So last year I was speaking to a resident right before my like seeing a gynecologist about it. And I particularly was asking about pregnancy, because I'm not looking to get pregnant right now, but I don't want to rule it out. And endometriosis, it can lead to infertility. And so for any woman who is curious if perhaps this is what's causing her pain, or is concerned about that, what she told me, and I'm happy with this, is she said, if I go to get pregnant and it's not happening, then looking at laparoscopy might be the best for me. Because... Like, my big concern was, like, look, if I wait, are these adhesions just going to get worse and pile on and create, like, more problems?
Yeah.
And she said that what they've found is that the most helpful thing for pregnancy is to go in when you're trying to. So to go in and clear it all up, because it could just grow back in the time since. Like, if I had the surgery last year and then waited 5 years to have a kid,
sure. It
could grow back.
So endometriosis doesn't have to be a sentence of infertility. You can very much clear that up, and at least probably for example if they do the laparoscopy, then they would be able to clear it enough for you to be
able to potentially
bear a child.
That is the hope. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. And that's why I would say for any woman, like, talk to her doctor, specifically get a gynecologist. A lot of women just, like, rely on their GP. And I have a great GP. She's awesome. But I also have a gynecologist for this specifically, who I can, you know, talk to about these things. And she's, because it's an area where they don't know the cause and there is no cure, there's a lot of research still being done on it. And every year there is some new information. So. Yeah. Getting a doctor who is up to date on that stuff is important. So for a woman who, like, for me, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a kid or kids or whatever. Like, it's still up in the air. I have friends who, since they were, like, 19 or even younger, were like, I'm definitely going to be a mom. So if that's you, I would, like, talk to your doctor about that.
Look,
because
into it.
That's important.
Yeah.
So, and one other thing that I'm interested in is right now, currently, what techniques are you using to deal with the pain?
Yeah.
On a monthly basis.
Yeah. Exercise is a big one. Diet is important. Particularly, I remember looking at, I was reading a book. The title would be great to tell you now, but I don't know it. And the correlation between women who had really bad menstrual cramps and their intake of sugar was, like, crazy. It was, like, women who experience really bad pain eat, like, 336% as much sugar as other women at that time of month. It's, whoa, like, it's almost like hand in hand. Like, if you're eating a bunch of chocolate and you also have really, and it's not like one is causing the other, but they are related.
Jared, does Bridie have much sugar in her diet?
No.
Because that's weird. Because I feel like Chelsea's the opposite. Chelsea, I mean, she eats pretty well, but, like, she drinks tea every day with
sugar.
Like a couple.
Yeah, no,
spoonfuls.
Bridie's pretty, like.
Yeah,
pretty,
and that's what I'm wondering. So I was wondering if there's any correlation, but I don't think so.
Is there anything that you feel that you'd really like to touch on or mention that you haven't gotten to say that you think would be really important for people to hear?
I think particularly for any woman that is experiencing pain that is getting in the way of her life. So if you're like, I can't go to work because my pain is so bad, then certainly like speak to your doctor. And if your doctor says, yeah, it's just being a woman, accept it, then find another doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even particularly again, like say to your doctor, I would like a gynecologist. Could you refer me to one?
Mm.
And because that like they're going to listen to you. They're going to
put in the due diligence.
Yeah. Well, again, like endometriosis is just one of like a whole bunch of different disorders, or not disorders, diseases that can affect the pelvic system of women.
Mm.
One thing I will say, like I had no idea before all of this. I had this like naive assumption that like all of like, you know, like the fallopian tubes, the uterus, like that's all there. And I had this idea that like it was separate somehow from the rest of my body, that like not
just
everything
floated.
Well, not floated, right, yeah. But that like, no, there was like a tissue wall or like a
it's not correlated. It's like to, its like, own liver, separate your kidneys and your heart.
It's
and
its own separate
yeah, like,
unit.
Yeah, like there was yeah, like there's a little room.
Wait,
and
is
that's,
it not?
No, it's yeah, all
it's totally
just
part
like,
of your body.
Totally, just like smashed in there under.
Yeah, I totally see it as like a.
I know. Yeah, that's
well, that's because really that's because scientifically it's usually compartmentalized into the like the urinary system and the reproductive system.
Yeah.
And all that.
But I also, to me, it's a design flaw. Like the fact that there's no sort of like
cave.
Separation from the rest.
There's
of,
no, there's no lady cave.
Yeah. Lair.
Yeah.
There's no,
you could say
baby,
that there's a lady
baby
cave.
Nest juice cave.
The other thing, and on the opposite side of what you were just talking about, like for anybody in particular guys, like if you hear of women that are dealing with serious menstrual cramps and things like that, like
jot that down in your calendar.
Put it in your calendar.
Put it
no,
in your
but
notebook.
Seriously, like it's fucking more difficult to deal with than you can imagine. Yeah. So be sensitive to that shit. Like, man, think about it. Like they deal with that every month.
The way that I think about it is like in talking to you and talking about endometriosis, like this, I'm thinking, man, I guess that's probably what it would feel like to have pass a kidney stone every month. That sounds awful.
Oh, that would be.
And I've never passed a kidney stone.
That's probably a good way to think of it.
Yeah, but if you want to like think like,
and I've never
how shitty would this be? Well, I'll tell you right now, I never in my life ever want to pass a kidney stone because I know I've heard that just sound it's fucking awful. Ugh. So just take a step back and be like, yeah, that's
yeah. Well, like kind of going back to like talking about you know what like women aren't. They're not bitches on their period.
Yeah, no.
But
no,
really,
no.
Like it's
Brian
it's
thinks
more.
So.
Oh, whoa!
No,
I
no,
definitely
no.
don't think that.
yeah. So the idea that is more like because we're in a lot of pain, or you know, we're not sleeping well, or our backs hurt, whatever it is, we're more just like thin-skinned at that time. So yeah. Keep
yeah,
your calendars handy.
Just set the, put the chocolate bars in the cupboards and give more hugs.
I hope he doesn't mind that I said that he does that.
I love that. I think that's the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah. I think we're going for the same thing.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I feel so informed and so much more educated. And to get that conversation out there, to just start talking about that, especially for the guys listening.
Yeah, and also for the ladies too. I think that there's probably a lot of ladies out there who are going to listen to this and go, "Oh shit."
And the
yeah,
last thing, for sure. The last thing I want to leave the female audience with is like as a guy, I'm okay with you talking about this stuff. Like it's not.
I think they get that because we just did a whole episode about talking about it.
Yeah, I know, but okay, whatever.
I think I know what you mean, like that, like other guys, would be similar,
yeah, exactly. And that's what I would like to think.
We hope what we're trying to do, I guess.
The only thing that you cannot do, really, is assume when a woman is being emotional that she's on her period. That is the problem.
Don't do that,
don't do that,
yeah. Thanks for that reminder, too.
Then, what is there a way
to men everywhere?
Is there a way to like, is there a way to ask that question to a woman?
No.
I think there's a urine test for it.
No. No, just don't do it. Leslie, thank you so much for
you
coming in here and talking.
I think of that episode of
God damn it, Brian. Fuck, can we fucking wrap it up?
Thanks, Jesus Leslie. Christ. We are so thankful for you coming in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
thanks
start,
a lot.
Start that Start that again. You can cut me.
Tried to wrap it up three times. Brian just kept going.
Yeah, Brian, just get everything you want to say out right now.
I'm super fascinated, but honestly, I'm just finding it really interesting.
Leslie, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your period with us. I mean, you made it seem easy. And I'm glad you were.
I do it all the time with other people.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's all I talk about.
If you enjoyed today's episode, which I hope you did, please go on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review if you haven't done that already.
Ooh, yeah, super important.
It actually is really important because it helps us get these conversations out. It helps people hear about our podcast and helps spread the word. So it would really, really mean a lot to us if you did that. Also, you can reach us on Twitter if you want to reach out to us at Sick Boy Podcast. And we have a website. If you ever want to be on the show, just go to our website, hit our contact form, and send us a little message. Again, thank you all so much for listening, boys.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy. And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.